Leviticus 25 and verse number 10, the Bible says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I want to say good morning to you today, and God bless you. This is Pastor Wynn Greer from the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and welcoming you to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is our first radio broadcast of this new year. And so it's sort of quiet here in the studio today, but that's all right. We're here, and we thank the Lord for the opportunity. And I want to thank everyone who sent Christmas cards to the church, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. They support the radio broadcast and make it possible to come this way. So we appreciate the Christmas cards, the nice notes that we receive from different listeners. We appreciate that very, very much. I thank you for doing that, and that is an encouragement to us and to the church. So Happy New Year, and thank you for listening in. I want to take just a moment to encourage you. I do this from time to time, but one of the greatest benefits in my Christian life was well over 20 years ago, our pastor at our church in England encouraged the congregation to read a chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, and that will help you in your spiritual life. I've read the Bible through many years in a row now, well over 20 years, read the Bible through every year, but go beyond that and read a chapter out of the book of Proverbs every day, and it will really be a blessing and a help to you. The book of Proverbs deals with how to live life, wisdom. Who out there doesn't need wisdom? So I want to encourage you in that, and that'll be a help to you and a blessing to you. Today would be a good day to start, and I hope you'll stay with us for the next half hour. I'm going to talk about a very important subject. This goes right along with our title or our name of the radio broadcast, Blessings of Liberty. That comes from the preamble to the Constitution, and it actually says it's talking about the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. That's our children and our children's children. But I want to talk today on the subject of the real purpose of the Second Amendment. That's what we're going to be talking about. So I hope you'll continue to be with us. I do want to say, first of all, good morning to Noah, and I want to say Happy New Year's to him. He's been in here working already today, and he's going to come and welcome our listeners. Good morning, Noah. How are you?
I'm good. It's good to be here this morning. We do want to welcome our listeners. We really appreciate them. All those who listen in here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690 in Bristol, Virginia, and also those who listen in on KPGT 89.1 FM, The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota.
We do appreciate our listeners, and I appreciate Noah editing and producing the radio broadcast and being here. What a help and what a blessing that is to me, and we enjoy it and have a good time working together in the work of the Lord. And I want to, as I've already said, I'm going to talk about the subject, the real purpose of the Second Amendment. And I'm going to get to the end right from the beginning, because sometimes I run out of the point that I'm trying to make in making it. I get caught up in introduction and saying this and saying that. But the real purpose of the Second Amendment. And I want to read out of the Bible, first of all, because what matters to me is what the Bible says, what the Bible teaches. And there definitely are principles in the Bible that we see, and this subject does matter to us as Americans, and it does matter to our liberty that we have. But in the Bible, we have an example of a nation that lost their freedom. And of course, the nation we're talking about is the nation of Israel. And we come to a time in the Bible when they are ruled over by the Philistines. And the scripture I want to read is 1 Samuel chapter number 13. How is it that they lost their freedom? How is it that they came into subjection to the Philistines and found themselves where they were slaves, and that's what they were, subjects, slaves, servants of the Philistines. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 13 and verse number 19, a very interesting passage of scripture. It says, "Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel." Now, when that's talking about no smith, that's talking about there wasn't a blacksmith, somebody that worked with iron and metal. "There was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said," now this was by legislation of the Philistines, that nobody could be a blacksmith, "for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears." Now that was the fighting instruments of the day, was swords and spears. And so they had taken their swords and spears away, and they had taken away their ability to make swords and spears. And it goes on down, and it says, verse 21 says, "They had a file for the mattock and for the axes, but there was no smith," no way to make up-to-date weapons. Verse 22 said, "So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people." They were disarmed. They did not have up-to-date weapons to defend themselves and to liberate themselves. It said, "Neither was sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan, but with Saul and with Jonathan his son, there were found." And so just a very few, Saul and Jonathan, a few others, had swords and spears. But we find this principle in the Bible. If the people are disarmed, or let me go back and say it this way, the real purpose of the Second Amendment is to prevent tyranny. It is to prevent slavery. It is to prevent you losing your liberty. And I want to read the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights. Just back in December the 15th was Bill of Rights Day. And I didn't say anything about it, but the reason it's called Bill of Rights Day is because on December the 15th, 1791, the first 10 amendments to the Constitution, which we call the Bill of Rights, were ratified December 15th, 1791. So the Second Amendment, it says, "A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." And so that's what we want to talk about today. The real purpose of the Second Amendment is to prevent tyranny. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Ever since the tragedy in Newtown, Connecticut, and what a tragedy that is, our nation will remember this for generations to come. And it's a terrible thing that's happened there and other places as well in America. But I have noticed since then that guns and any news related to guns is in the news every day. I mean, there's been things that are in the news about guns that normally is not in the news. In the newspapers, I've just noticed so many articles having to do with guns, whether it's something tragic or not. There's just a lot of news about guns in the newspaper and on the television and computer. There is renewed talk about everything from putting armed guards in the schools in America to banning guns altogether. Politicians are talking about it. Mr. Obama is talking about it. He wants some legislation to be able to put forth in the coming year. And there's just all kinds of talk about what is going to be done in America in regards to guns. Firearm sales and ammunition sales are just absolutely through the roof. I have been noticing locally, and we had to travel out of town in the past few days. I stopped at a few different places, some very large stores, gun stores. And I mean, there's just, it's amazing. It looks like they're all having clearance sales. The guns that have been sold just in the past few weeks. My son Noah, he got me for Christmas he renewed my subscription to the National Rifle Association. And while they were on the phone doing that, the gentleman that worked for the National Rifle Association, he said in a 24-hour time period, my wife was telling me this after she had done it, was telling me that in a 24-hour time period, either he or the people that he had, maybe his department there, in 24 hours, they had had over 8,000 new subscriptions to the National Rifle Association. And then I seen an article after that about the huge spike in people joining the NRA. Gun talk in America will never go away. These two sides, they're never going to meet together. They are diametrically opposed to one another, and that is just the way that it is. But there's a lot of talk about guns going on in America right now. Now, as a Christian and a Bible-believing Christian, I do not believe we have a gun problem in America. I believe what we have is a spiritual problem in America. We have a sin problem in America. We have a problem with evil in America. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 31, it says, "The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord." And what that verse is teaching us out of the book of Proverbs is you can do whatever you will, and you can take every precaution against evil. You can pass laws against everything under the sun. But when it comes right down to it, if the Lord does not give safety, there is not going to be safety. And the farther we get away from God in our nation, the more perilous our society becomes. In fact, the Bible predicts this. The Bible prophesies this. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 1 says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." We are living, I believe, in those perilous times, those dangerous times we are living in. There are so many evil things that are going on in our society. It's not just that we have a gun problem. We have a sin problem. And the farther we get away from God, the worse our society, the more dangerous our society becomes. In New York City in the past month or so, there has been two instances of someone pushing another person in front of a subway train. In fact, that just happened, a lady up in New York City. And when they were talking about crime being down and murder being down here, this woman comes along. She pushed a Hindu man in front of a subway train. And she said the reason she did that, she hated Muslims and Hindus, and she had ever since 9/11. Now, obviously, the lady has some mental problems, spiritual problems. She's got some problems. You just don't go around and do that. She didn't know the man. She just pushed him. Of course, it killed the man. But nobody's talking about outlawing or doing away with the subway system in New York City. But you can't stop evil if evil has a mind to do something evil. And that's the point of telling that. On December the 25th, on Christmas Day in China, I read in the newspaper that a man, he was upset about his daughter had been murdered 3 years ago, and he never got any satisfaction from the court system concerning her murder. But this man, he took a car and ran it through a group of school children, middle school children, 23 children he ran down. Injured 13. I think miraculously none of them were killed, but he ran over with a car 23 children. He then attempted to blow the car up. He had a can of gas in his car, and it was full of firecrackers. You know, that's where most firecrackers come from anyways, China. So I guess maybe they can't get guns, but he got what he could, filled his car up with firecrackers and tried to blow them up before the authorities got there. And what a tragic thing that is. When somebody has their mind made up to kill and maim and murder, nothing can be done. You can prepare and prepare, but safety is of the Lord. Over this past weekend, down around Raleigh, North Carolina, there was a man had a former employee come to his house. The former employee was wanting to borrow money. He was the man that on the home he would not, didn't let the man borrow the money, he refused, that man then proceeded to stab that man to death. He killed him. And then he took a baseball bat and he beat up the man's wife, left her for dead, thought she was dead. She come to and told who it was that had done this, and she is still in, as far as I know, very critical condition. But you know, you'll never hear anybody talk about banning knives or baseball bats or anything like that. My point is that evil cannot be stopped or prevented by passing laws that only law-abiding citizens will obey. You take away guns, and then only criminals will be the ones that have guns. But here's how it is in our nation. People say, well, what can we do? What can we do about this tragedy that happened up in Connecticut, or this shooting up in New York where the man set the houses on fire and the fire department came and he shot and killed two volunteer firemen? What can be done about something like that? And politicians, you know, something must be done. Parents say, you know, well, we can't have these evil people going into schools and killing innocent people. And I agree 100% with that. And so what is the answer to all of these horrible things that go on in our society? And you know, what is not talked about very much, especially by politicians or in the media, we already have in place everything needed to prevent. Now, you cannot prevent an attack like that, but you can prevent the magnitude of when an attack like that does happen. And what we already have in place to prevent some of these horrible tragedies from taking place is the Second Amendment, the ability to defend ourselves. I believe it is a God-given right that we have, the pursuit of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The pursuit of life has to entail the ability to defend yourself from evil. And so we have the Second Amendment in America. It says, once again, a well-regulated militia being necessary. You ought to get a copy of this and underline it. Being necessary to the security. We have a lot of talk about security. The security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Do you know something that all these mass killings have in common? The Sandy Brook Elementary School, the murders up at Virginia Tech, that's the number one mass murder in America is what happened at Virginia Tech. I believe there was 32 or 33 people that were shot to death. The shooting out in Fort Hood, Texas, where that Army major went in and killed all those soldiers, where these massive numbers of people are murdered. One thing that they all have in common is that they are, generally speaking, not every one of them, but most of them, they are places where the Second Amendment has been infringed upon. Cities in our nation that have the highest number of violence and murder rates are cities like Chicago, Detroit, Washington, D.C., places where the Second Amendment has been infringed upon. Now, that word infringed, that's not a word that we use all the time, but it's a very interesting word. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And that word infringe, if you look it up, it means to be destroyed or to be hindered, to render something ineffective through laws, through legislation. Do you know where the most dangerous place where you live? I don't care where. We have listeners in several different states. You may live in the country. You may have a town. You may live in the city. I don't know. But I'll tell you, the most dangerous place where you live are those places where the Second Amendment has been repealed, where there are places designated as gun-free zones. The school is designated a gun-free zone. That is a place that is very, very dangerous. That's why somebody like this young man up in Connecticut can get a gun and go into a place like this and kill all these people. There's nobody there. There was nobody there that could defend and stop what he was doing. A gun-free zone is the most dangerous place where you live, whether it's a school, whether it's a courthouse, whether it is a hospital, whether it is a post office, wherever you find that the right of the people to keep and bear arms has been taken away because law-abiding citizens, well, they will obey the law. Criminals don't see the sign on the door that says no guns, no weapons, anything like that. It doesn't matter to them. You remember a few weeks ago up in Portland, Oregon, in the mall before Christmas shopping, the mall was full of people, and this man went into the mall in Oregon. He killed two people, maybe shot another one, but that person didn't die, and then he killed himself. That was big news right before Christmas. What you did not hear about is that there was a gentleman in the mall, a 22-year-old young man. He had his concealed carry permit. He had a firearm with him. He was shopping with some friends, and I think maybe it was a girlfriend. She had a four-month-old baby, and they were all there in the mall shopping together. And this man drew his pistol, pointed it at the shooter. The shooter saw him. Now, the man, his name is Nick Mealy, 22-year-old young man, had his concealed carry permit. He drew his gun. He pointed it at the shooter. The shooter saw him. Now, he did not shoot at the shooter because he said after that there were some people behind him, and he knew that if he shot and missed that he might shoot an innocent person. So he didn't. He just showed that he had a gun. The shooter, at that time, his gun was jammed, and he was trying to get it to unjam so he could shoot some other people. But when he saw this man that had a gun, he realized, hey, I'm not the only person here that has a gun. He ran into a stairwell, unjammed his gun, and killed himself. I believe, and other people that have looked into this, you know, that man no doubt saved countless lives, because the man that did the shooting, the killing, he had all kinds of ammunition. He had the gun, he had the means, but when he saw he was opposed by this person that had a gun, he just went and shot and killed himself. Well, all of that is a tragic thing, but what I'm saying is that responsible citizen, that armed, legally armed citizen, saved lives. But there's zero mention of that from the news media. I was listening on the day that it happened, and they said nothing about that. The police there, the guy that did the interview, he was praising the police. They didn't wait on the SWAT team. They ran into the mall in order to save lives, but the shooter was already dead. He went in there and killed himself. By then, the threat was over. I praise God for the police and law enforcement, but you know, in real life, most of the time, when all the killing is already done, they show up and just, you know, there's nothing else they can do a whole lot of times. Thankfully, there was somebody there that had exercised and had the courage to have a desire to protect other people, and so you never hear anything about that. But the real purpose of the Second Amendment is, according to the Second Amendment, the security of a free state. It is not that we might hunt, that we might have guns to hunt. That's great. That's wonderful, but you can hunt with a bow and an arrow. It is not to collect guns. It is not to shoot clay pigeons. It is to prevent tyranny. And if people breaking into public places and shooting people, if that's not tyranny, I don't know what is. The reason for the Second Amendment is to prevent tyranny, whether that is personally in our homes. I believe, as a Bible-believing Christian, that I have a God-given responsibility to protect my home, to protect my family, my wife, my children. A Christian person, generally, from reading the Bible, will feel this way, that we ought to protect those that cannot protect themselves. That is part of being an adult. That is part of being a parent. You want to protect your children. And as sad as it might be to say this, this is the kind of world that we live in. It is a very violent place sometimes. And wicked things happen. Evil things happen. What if we didn't have the ability to protect ourselves? It is the purpose of the Second Amendment is to prevent tyranny, whether that is personally in our homes, whether that is publicly in our streets, or whether in our schools, or whether that is politically in our nation. And that is the reason behind the Second Amendment, was to prevent political tyrants. And that's a whole nother subject that we might get into a little bit later on. I wanted to maybe get that far, but I'm not going to be able to do that today. But I read there in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 13, and the children of Israel, they were slaves, they were servants, they were in a state of bondage from the Philistines. And the reason, the Bible says, there was no smith found throughout the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make them swords or spears. If they would have had the ability to defend themselves, they would have not been slaves. They would have not been under the heavy hand of the Philistines at that time. They would have not been being oppressed by the Philistines. There was no smith. And so verse 22, so it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. And so as a result of them being disarmed, they were ruled by tyrants. And I wish I had time to get into this article. I don't. But I found this article that I had in my notes. I've just got a couple of minutes, but it says this: our elite rulers are tyrants. Now we're talking about the Second Amendment. See, our founding forefathers, they were ruled by a tyrant, and they did something about it. Well, I found this article: our elite rulers are tyrants. He gives 11 ways. He said the federal government has destroyed the constitutional republic and exceeds its authority in countless areas. Number two, while meddling in areas where it has no authority, the federal government has failed in its constitutional duties. Number three, the federal government has agreed to surrender on a piecemeal basis the very independence the American Revolution fought to establish. Number four, the federal government shows an increasingly fierce disregard for the rights of Americans. The government would like to take away and do away with the Second Amendment. Well, why? What power would that leave unto them? I won't have time to go through all of these things that he talks about, but here's the interesting thing about this article. It was by a man named Charlie Reese, but it was written, it was in the Capitol Hill Voice, October 1996. And I wish I had time to go through what he's talking about here, because what he's talking about here is multiplied 10 times in 2012 and the beginning of 2013. So interesting days that we're living in, and serious things that we're talking about. I do appreciate you listening in. My, how we need wisdom. God has wisdom, but we have to go to his book to get it, and pray and ask the Lord, and he will give wisdom unto us. Well, our time is quickly come and gone. Thank you for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Noah's going to come and give the contact information.
This has been Blessings of Liberty, brought to you by Pastor Wayne Greer, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to contact us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's MTLEBANONBC.org.